Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at it together. Ephesians chapter 5. Why don't we stand? Amen. Amen. It's a great passage of scripture. Great passage of scripture. Man, you know what? I want to hook up with the underground church in China. I want to see how to hook up with them. Amen. I would like to go to China. I was just thinking about that. You know what? When your freedoms are taken from you, I wonder how we're going to adjust. I told my wife we won't have Wi-Fi for 2 days. I don't know how I'm going to cope with that. So I'm going to start there and see how it works. 2 days we won't have no Wi-Fi, y'all. What are we going to do? We're going to have to look at each other and talk to each other. Amen. Get in the Word. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Uh-oh. Deal with the women first. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in what? In everything. In what? In what? In everything. Not some things, not what you feel like, not because it ain't your color. In what? Everything. But verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. I want to talk about this morning. Amen. Amen. Focus on the family. It starts at home, but your children are watching. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. I do ask now that you'd forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, create in me, Lord, a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit. God, I pray this morning that you would bless the preaching of your word. Touch the hearts and the minds of your people now. Anoint this place and fill us with your presence right now, Lord. And Lord, speak a word to us. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. The reason we have... I've titled this message this way because in our series on Focus on the Family, we first started off with faith, that faith starts at home. And the second thing we did in this second part, we're dealing with marriage. Amen. We're dealing with marriage and the family. The home is a place that our children get their values, their training, and their example. The question this morning is, what type of husband will your son be? What type of wife will your daughter be? Or what type of single person will your child be if they choose, amen, to be single? Most couples don't even know, but every move you make, every action, every reaction, every word, everything you've spoken to your child, amen, or spoken to your spouse, or everything you do, your children are watching. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but as I've started looking at this, I started looking at this whole scenario, and I started to say to myself, and I had to ask myself, amen, am I a good example to my children? And one of the things that Satan has done recently, and not recently, it's an age-old trick he has, is he's caused division in the family. I have some statistics says that over 3.3 million children witness violence in their home every year. Those who see and hear violence in the home, they suffer from physical and emotional damages. Do I have anybody? The male children who witness abuse of their mothers by their fathers are most likely to become abusers. They're affected in four different areas: emotional, behavioral, social, and physical. In all areas of their lives, there's something about marriage, amen, that's beautiful, but there's also a dark side to marriage. Do I have anybody? You can get married to the right person, amen, or think you married the right person, and then you get together and you can't get along. There's fights and there's all kinds of things going on in the home that causes the family dynamic to be distorted. Satan knows this. If he can keep two people, amen, in the same proximity of their children arguing and yelling and fighting and cussing and amen, amen, then these children are destined for the same fate. And so today, as we look at Scripture, my aim today, amen, is to assist you and I to either turn the tide, become difference maker, amen, or begin to work on our marriages, because our children are watching. They say, well, Pastor, I'm single. Well, even if you're single, your children are still watching. And even if you don't have any kids, eventually, maybe one day, you will have some. Amen? And so at least you'll have the information that you need. Last week, I told you, amen, the week before that, I told you that one of the things that we must show our children is to show our children that we really love God. That we show them how to really obey God. That we spend time teaching our children the Word of God. Now listen, it's something to come to church and show them how to live the Word of God. But when you get home, if you and your spouse can't get along, if you and your husband or your wife, and you can't, you're constantly bickering, you're constantly arguing, you're constantly going at each other, that example is being set. And Paul says this, that we fight not against, in the same chapter, but chapter 6, he says, we fight not against flesh and blood. So if we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places, why is it that husbands and wives can't get along? I believe it's a strategy. I believe that through God's word, we can learn how, amen, to be different. I believe that if you're not married yet, or if you will be married, if you take God by at his word, if you learn the principles from the word, you can be a difference maker. Do I have anybody? We find in this chapter of Ephesians, in chapter 5, Paul tells us something in verse 1. He says, be imitators of who? God. You see, I believe that that's the key thing to changing one's character. If you want to imitate somebody, imitate God. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children, verse 2, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. So if you're going to be an example, I believe, the best example that you have is Christ. Amen. You see, I see Christians walking around with their heads hung low, and I see them frowning all the time, and they're sad all the time. But I want to say this to you. God has been really, has God been good to anybody in here? I know that God awoke you up this morning. Did you wake you up this morning? Amen. And so, you know what? We're looking for a lot of examples, but the greatest example is Christ. The greatest example, the person that we should be trying to imitate, amen, is Christ. The Bible says, he goes on to say in verse 2, he says, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. In other words, what he's saying is to be selfless. In other words, what he's saying is you're going to have to sacrifice. And oftentimes what I found out is that you got two people that get together, amen. They're from two different parts of the spectrum, amen. And watch this. If you don't know Jesus, it's going to be hard to stay in a relationship together. Do I have anybody? If you don't know, if Christ, listen, and I'm not just talking about a Sunday Christian. I'm talking about a Christian that lives his life or her life daily. See, I have to learn how to die to self. And I want to tell you something. I'm very selfish at times. Amen. I just want to tell you, selfishness is taking a little longer to leave me. Come on, somebody. Amen. Anybody there? Anybody been there? Hey, somebody say, I'm there right now, Pastor. Amen. Sometimes self gets in the way. And when self gets in the way, it could become a problem in marriage. Amen. And one of the things that we have to learn to do, amen, if we're going to have a marriage, if we're going to live in this relationship, and if we're going to raise children, we have to remember that they're watching. Turn to them and say, they're still watching. And so look what Paul goes on to say. Look what he goes on to say. Look what he goes on to say. I want to show you what he goes on to say. Look at verse 15. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making most the opportunity because the days are evil. What Paul is saying is that, in other words, not only if we're going to have a healthy marriage, so if you would have put a point to it, first thing is you have to imitate God, both of you. So write it down somewhere. Take a picture at it. Do something with it. Amen. Walk with it when you leave out of here. In other words, you know what? And let me say this. If you're single, prepare yourself for marriage. And this is how you prepare yourself for marriage, right? You become an imitator of God. You see, you don't let anybody pull you away from the Lord. If this brother is so fly, amen, and he can't appreciate your relationship with God, then something is wrong. Do I have anybody? Here's the thing. If you're imitating God, you will only attract things like God. Come on, somebody. You may attract the opposite, but I tell you what, if you believe what you live, come on, somebody, they won't stay around very long. Are you with me? So you be an imitator of God, but then also the second thing you need to walk in wisdom. You need to be wise. In other words, the Bible says if you don't have wisdom, ask God. God, because guess what? We don't know everything, right? Amen. We don't know everything, right? Am I right about it? Amen. Amen. We don't know everything, right? We may think, and you know, one thing I found about young people, come on, somebody. Come on, tell it to me. Come on, say it to me. They think they know everything, right? Paul is saying, listen, don't be unwise, but be wise. Making the most of your opportunity. In other words, listen, my wife may not be here tomorrow. Come on, somebody. And so why should we spend our time arguing? Come on, somebody. Fussing and fighting all the time. Let's make the most of the opportunity. If you're an imitator of God, and if I'm wise, and if you're wise, guess what? We can get along. Is the word plain or what? I'm trying to give you something. Amen. Be wise getting this. Watch this. Look at verse 17. He says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the third thing you must know is the will of God. Amen. Watch this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, this is what it says. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service to the Lord. He says, and do not be conformed to this world. See, that's, watch this. But be ye transformed. That word transform in the Greek, the word means metamorphosize, metamorphy. Amen. And it means metamorphosis. It means going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. In other words, what he's saying is the longer you stay in God and understand his will, you won't be the same. If you surrender your body, your mind, your will, your emotion, you will understand what the will of God is. You can't know the will of God if you're living in the world. Come on, somebody. You cannot really understand God's will because he says, watch this. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know the will of God. So here's the thing. Here's the third thing you must ask yourself. Do we know the will of God for our lives? Do I know exactly what God wants me to do? Well, here's the thing. If you're an imitator of God, come on, somebody. If you ask God for wisdom, then you'll understand what the will of God is. Look at verse 18 and see, this is what you got to be careful of, married people. Children are watching. And verse 18, and do not get drunk. You young people like to get drunk. Amen. I'm talking to young people and old people too. Amen. Do not get drunk with wine. This stuff is stronger. For this is dissipation. You know what the word dissipation means? In the Greek, waste of time. That's what it means. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for it's a waste of time. That's kind of rhymed a little bit. Amen. It's a waste of time. Look what he says. But be what? Be what? Be what? Filled. Plareo in the Greek. That word means to be filled up to the top. Okay, now watch this. If you don't know the will of God, if you're not an imitator of God, if you don't know the will of God, if you're not an imitator of God, amen, watch this. And if you're not walking as a wise person, then drink will be your alternative. Come on, somebody. But he says, watch this. He says, when you enter into a marriage relationship, come on, somebody. He says, this is what you need. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you why you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Because every now and then in the relationship, your patience is going to be tested. Come on, somebody. So the Holy Spirit will give you patience. Men don't know how to love, so the Holy Spirit will give you love. Amen. Sometimes in the relationship, you're going to need a little joy. Guess what the Holy Spirit gives you? Joy. Sometimes you're going to need a little peace. And guess what the Holy Spirit is going to give you? Peace. But you cannot have any of those things if you're not first filled with the Spirit. I'm sorry. If you're not sealed with the Spirit, if you're not filled with the Spirit, if you're not led by the Spirit, and if you don't walk in the Spirit. I'm talking about it now. So you have to be sealed with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and then lastly, live in the Spirit. But you and I know that ain't always going to happen. You and I know that we fall short, don't we? Don't we fall short sometimes? Come on, somebody. Listen, sometimes you want to say something. It ain't of the Spirit. But that's why he said, be what? Filled. Listen, the key component to this is being filled. That's what it is. That's what it is. And let me tell you what he says here. He says, it's relatively easy to exhibit a spirit-filled life for 1 or 2 hours a week in church. But it takes work, the work of the Holy Spirit, to exhibit godliness, not only on Sunday, but in everyday relationships with your boss, amen, with your children, with people around you. Listen, you can come to church and holler all you want and say hallelujah and whatever and fall out and all this other stuff. But guess what? When you leave here, does it leave with you? Can we all get along? If we can't get along, that means the Spirit, we can't see eye to eye. How come we can't see eye to eye? How come we're always struggling with each other? How come we're always fighting? How come we're always cursing? How come we're always, distant from each other? There's no Spirit. And then we come to church and we act like everything is okay. It's time for us to stop pretending. Am I right about it? I don't know if they're going to preach this on mainstream. Amen. But this is stuff we got to do. And so the question I have for you today is, how are you filled with the Spirit? How are you feeling? I tell you how. You just ask. Holy Spirit, fill me. Come on, let's see. Let's see if we can do it this morning. Ready? Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me afresh. Renew me. Renew my mind right now. Fill me till I want no more. Come on, you can do it. Fill me till I want no. Give me an overflow of your presence. Come on. Come on, just ask him right now. When you're going to, ooh, I feel his presence right now. I'm not just saying that. I feel his presence because I just asked him. See, and when you're in the spirit, when a person makes you mad, all you got to do is say, all right. It's cool. Now I know why Satan been troubling me to preach this. Amen. Because he doesn't want us to get this. He doesn't want my home to be together. Amen. I'm not perfect. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not perfect. Amen. There's some weeks, Sister Hunt and I, we look in a different direction. Hello, somebody. Seriously. But you know what? What I love about our relationship now is that somebody prays. I pray every day. She prays every day. And then all of a sudden, we be walking by each other and say, you know what? Let's put this thing aside here. Let's just pray. Amen. And that's how it works. Because, listen, you're not always going to agree, but somebody has to be a spiritual one. I'm trying to help you. Somebody going to get married to this married couple right on time for you. Amen. Right on time for you. All right? So what's the three things we got to do? Four things. And don't get drunk with wine. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. All right. So now let me give you my 3 points and we're going to go home. Watch this. Verse 22. So now with all that said, I have to give you the context before you can understand why he says. Now, listen. Let me say this. If a wife is not filled with the Spirit, there's no way she could submit. You know why? Because of the curse. Because he says, I curse you, and here's why I curse you. The curse is this. You will want to usurp authority over him all the time. All the time. So if a wife is not Spirit-filled, why? Listen, you think you're ready for marriage. Amen. You're not ready for marriage till you can submit. I know you can get along. I know y'all can get along and agree on certain things, but can you submit? Boy, I'm working hard today. I'm working hard today. Watch this. Can you submit? Y'all supposed to answer back. Nobody answered. Amen. Can you submit? Now, you know what the word submit means? Know what it means, Eric? Because you know everything. What it mean? What it mean? What it mean, Eric? What it mean? It means obedience. Hupomeno. Let me tell you what hupomeno means. It means to remain under. To remain under. Listen, he may be a jackrabbit fool. Stay under. Well, you see, that's the whole thing. See, you shouldn't have married him before you knew he was a jackrabbit fool. You follow what I'm saying? And that, listen, if you were filled with the Spirit, you would have discerned. And if you were, if you were imitating God, then you would have, God would have, listen, God gave you clear signs that wasn't the one. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Listen. The bells, the whistles, and everything, the siren and everything was going off. And you said, but I love him. And y'all make it 2 weeks I want a divorce. 2 weeks. My first marriage, I was married for 8 months. So you tell you what kind of spirit I was in. Anyways. He says, so wives, be subject to who? See, that's a key word right there. See, wives, you can go to work and your boss will say, bring me a cup of coffee or whatever, or do this or do that or do this, right? Then you come home, right? Your husband said, baby, can you bring me some water? Shoot, get it yourself. He didn't say submit to somebody else's husband. Amen. Listen, if I don't do that for my husband, I'm sorry, boss man. No, you better submit at work. You better don't go in there getting fired tomorrow, okay? Don't go to work getting fired. Y'all women will say it rough, man. They'll be like, what'd you say? But here's the thing. He says, wives, subject yourself to your own husband. Watch this. See, here's the reason why you can be obedient to a fool sometimes. As to who? As to the Lord. So my first point, my fourth point is this. You ready for this? Your children are watching. Write this one down. Show them, wives, show them how to submit to the Lord. Show your children, by your submission to your husband, how to submit to the Lord. Show them what it looks like. Because they don't know what you know about your relationship with God. So show them that, yeah, even though, you know, daddy may be going through some stressful stuff right now or whatever the case may be, all right, or whatever you, wherever you are in your relationship, okay, show them by still submitting to him that you're really submitting to the Lord. Because wives, let me tell you this. He may mistreat you. But if you stay submitted to him as unto the Lord, God's going to deal with him. Come on, somebody. You don't have to cuss. You don't have to fuss. You don't have to go through the motions. All you got to do is say, you know what? All right. I'll submit to the Lord, and so I can submit to you. Because guess what? If you don't submit to God, there's no way you can submit to him. It won't happen. But remember this. Your submission, watch this, shows your children that God is important. Listen, is this deep? Watch this. The devil doesn't want us. He wants the family to be broken, right? And he wants the wife to be rebellious so that, watch this, so I can do this thing on my own. I don't need you. And that's my next point. That's my next point. Verse 23. He says, for the husband is the what? Verse 23. The husband is the what? Head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. Watch this. He being the what? Savior of the body. Second point. Well, not my, you know, whatever point it is. Show them that they cannot live independent of God. See, because once you put yourself in a marriage, you are submitting to God, but your husband becomes your head. Your covering. All right? And watch this. And if you decide, he's a fool, I ain't fool, and you step out of your covering and you begin to live independent, you'll do the same thing with God. Because watch this. If you can't submit to him, then how can you submit to God? Don't tell me you're praying and you're submitting to God and you're not submitting to your husband no matter how he's acting. You chose to marry him. Come on, somebody. This is not women live and you know, suppressing you as a woman and all that kind of stuff. It's you submitted to God. Watch this. And you understanding, just like Christ is the head of this church. But sometimes the church don't act right. Amen. But watch this. But the moment that the church leaves her covering, all kinds of stuff start coming in. Satan starts sending people from all over the place to try to destroy the church. And, you know, and it's the same thing in marriage. Wives, when you say, I'm grown. I'm a grown woman. You don't tell me what to do. Uh-oh. Amen. I've been doing bad all by myself all my life. Where you came from? Can I go on with it? But remember this, your children are watching. Mothers, your submission to God helps their submission to God. But your submission to your husband, watch this, will determine if they're going to live with God or independent of God. You see, watch this. By submitting to your husband, you realize that you cannot live independently of each other. You can't live without him because you're in covenant. Amen. Watch this. Verse 24. It says, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in what? That's an ouch moment right there, right? Like, are you serious? He's asking me to sell the house and go to Vegas. And now, that's some crazy stuff, okay? But I'll say this to you. The next thing is, show them the example of Christ. Show them. Listen, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to endure all that suffering. He didn't have to endure the insults. He said, but the text says, watch what it says. It says, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in what? In everything. So in other words, show them the example of Christ. Listen, baby, we're going to be all right. And you don't talk to your children about what's going on in your marriage. Amen. But when, listen, you know what? And I'll say this. When a child sees their mother totally submitted, she's given them an example of what Jesus did. He endured hardship. He endured pain. He endured suffering. Right? And this is what he's saying. He's using the analogy of a church. He's using the analogy to tell us this is how it's done. Verse 25. Fathers, now let me get on y'all. Husbands, love your wives. Now this word love is not an impulsive feeling. This word love is sacrificial, agape. It's sacrificial love. So I say your children are watching. So the next thing, fathers, what you got to show your children, you ready for this? Show them how to love like Jesus. Selflessness. Put yourself aside and love your wife. Listen, whatever she desires, she should have. Oh, was that within reason now? Hold on now. Don't get crazy. But listen, how many fathers are teaching their sons how to love? Listen, when a man meets a woman, it's about lust. Oh. Not all the time. Okay, but check this out. He says, husbands, what did he say? Love your wife. Fathers, you got to teach your children how to love. But if we don't spend time with them, if we don't show the woman that we decided to spend the rest of our lives with love, and if all we do is curse and fight and argue and complain and go at each other and all this other stuff, now that submission piece goes both ways. It's called mutual submission. Amen. But listen, here's the thing. You got to show your children in this marriage relationship. See, now some of you are reconsidering marriage, huh? It's pretty deep, ain't it? It's the deep stuff. I'm talking, listen, you should. I tell you why. Because if you can't submit to somebody, don't put yourself in something you won't do. Because all you're going to do is argue and fuss and fight. And if he can't love you, listen, he may impress you. But he doesn't love you. See, he loves you when he can give up his rights for you. Come on, somebody. When he can put his agenda aside and put you before him. That's love. And let me say something about love. It's an action word. It means you got to show me something. Are you with me? It's amazing how young people, they fall in love. I love him. You just met him. How you going to love somebody you just met? Well, it was love at first sight. I know, because you saw him. You know what I mean? That's lust at first sight. All right? And so we got to learn how to love. And when we love, we can love the way Jesus loved. Come on, somebody. Listen, don't accept nothing less from a man. If he loves you, he's not going to put his hand on you. Come on, somebody. If he loves you, he may get angry, but he's not going to curse you out. Uh-oh. Seriously, don't accept that. Are you with me? Then the next thing he says, husband, love your wives. Husband, love your wives just as. See that? You got to love like Jesus. You got to show them how to love, how to love like Jesus. Show them. Those kids are watching. They're paying close attention. Watch this. And all he says, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So the next thing you got to show them, fathers, your children and your wife. You ready for this? Show them how to sacrifice. Show them what sacrifice really means. Show them. This word, when he says give himself up, it means to surrender. Surrender your rights. Surrender your will. Surrender your mind. Surrender these things so that you can show your children that in life, at times, you'll have to make sacrifices. See, we think we're ready for marriage, but when we get into the marriage relationship, the men get selfish. They want to accumulate all the good stuff, and they want to buy this and buy that, and the wife's like, well, what about me? Well, you got to submit. You know what I mean? You try to pull that card, you got to submit. The only reason I'm doing this is because of the Lord. Amen. If it wasn't for the Lord on my side, Lord have mercy. And lastly, verse 26, and I'm going to my, as I see some of you looking at me like, I wish you'll hurry up. He says, verse 26, right there, so that he might what? Sanctify her. Having what? In other words, don't you marry an unbeliever. I'm going to say it one more time. Let me just say this. Don't you marry an unbeliever. Don't you try to make no man a Christian. Don't you try to bring no man in the church. Talk about, we finna fix him, Pastor. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try to, listen, you're going to be attracted to a godly man because you're an imitator of God, or you're going to bring a devil in your life. I'm being for real. And they come in all shapes and sizes. And they come with a lot of game. Listen, what does a believer and an unbeliever have in common? I love you. You have nothing in common. Not one thing. If you're an imitator of God. Hey, but Pastor, but listen, you let God save them. That's not your job. It's not your job to save them. And 99.9% of the couples that I don't marry, okay, that go out and get married anyways, right, because he didn't want to give his life to Jesus because he was fronting and counseling, right? Check this out. It ends in divorce. Because, and watch this, and that person, the woman, usually leaves church. You know why? Because she yoked, and listen, be careful of these ones. I know the Bible. I can quote that, yeah. See, the Bible says, you know, in Deuteronomy, well, let me just give you a for instance right quick. You ready for this? I'm just teaching today, that's all. Watch this. Check this out. Come here, Jesus. See this? You can have all this. If you just bow down and worship me. If you just bow down. Are you serious? If I just bow down and worship you? Listen. He said to him first, he says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? This is a revelation I got on Friday. Watch this. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:6. Satan, in turn, goes back and backdoors Jesus and quotes Psalm 90. What does that tell you about Satan? He knows the word, but he distorts the word. He doesn't want you coming from this Bible. He wants me to tell you how to have a good day without the scriptures. And you got to be careful with those men and women who claim they know the Bible, but you don't see it in their lives. You know why? Because your children are watching. When you go home, that's the real deal. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's the person that you have to decide you're gonna be, what you're going to be. All right? And so when he says, first of all, he says that just as Christ loved the church, okay, if a man does not know how to sacrifice, then he definitely doesn't know how to sanctify you. And so the next thing you have to do is show them, my last point, why they need salvation and sanctification. I'm talking about your children. See, when the husband serves God, amen. Come here, Sister Hunt. Amen. When the husband is serving God, sanctifying his wife, this is what he's doing. Go ahead, do this for me. Yeah, You know, bow down. Amen. All right. I need somebody to play a kid for me. Come on. Come here, Victoria. Amen. This is what it means by sanctifying. Amen. I want you to do the same thing. Get down. Stoop down a little bit, just like that. Do the same thing Sister Hunter doing. Come here, Clarice. You got a baby in your hand or something? Okay, come on here. And go right in front of Victoria. This is what it looks like when he says he sanctifies them. When the husband is praying, the family is covered. And he's sanctifying them. And he's sanctifying the children. And everybody is in an orderly arrangement. And he's protected his family. It's more than him, thank you. It's more than him, amen, amen. Thank you, y'all, amen. It's more than you just saying, I love you. But the point is, and what I'm trying to go after here, is that the children are watching, and when the children can see that kind of order, then the home is going to be a beautiful, listen, you won't want to drive by your house. You're going to want, listen, you, listen, I remember Sister Hunter and I, we had some rough patches in our marriage. Rough, amen. And then I remember when we made it through those rough patches, amen. We couldn't wait to get home. Amen. We couldn't wait to drive home and see each other again. You understand what I'm saying? My point is, marriages, they're seasons. Amen. But if this passage is alive in your marriage, in front of your children, your children will repeat the same cycle. How many want to be a generational curse breaker? How many want to break the dysfunctional family curse? Amen. Where it's all about attitude and fighting and negativity and all this other stuff, divorce and all this other stuff. See, this is why I say you have to show them why they need salvation. Son, the reason why you need to be saved is because daddy is sanctifying his family because he knows the Lord. And so when you get saved, son, you get to sanctify your family. Amen. And then sanctification is the process by which you grow. So son, what you got to do is you got to continue to sanctify your family. Listen to this poem I got, Through the Eyes of a Child. Did I do something wrong to make you lose control? Anger so strong, or do you even know? That when you come home, I want to run and hide. The pain is so deep, I keep it inside. I'm not the same because of you, always afraid of what you'll do. If only you could see yourself through my eyes, you'd know why I'm dying inside. Sometimes I need a firm but gentle hand. Someone who cares and understands that I'm still learning, but I just can't take this abuse. From you, there's no excuse. If I'm not the same because of you, always afraid of what you'll do. If you only could see yourself through my eyes, you'll know why I'm dying inside. This is no way to live. If you try to change, I'll try to forgive. That's through the eyes of a child. And I say this to you as I close. You know, marriage is a very complex thing. But based upon Scripture, if we live it, we can be that example. Children that you have, the children that you bring into this world, they deserve something better. We deserve, parents, married people, if you're arguing today, if you have any time for ourselves, you know what I mean? Because we know that, listen, we're an example to you. And we have a healthy marriage. Amen. And sometimes it come up under attack, but we have a healthy marriage. And I say this to you today, and even today, if you want to be an example,